Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back, everyone, for another year of the Speak As Well As You Think podcast. We thought it would be a great idea to kick off our first podcast of the year talking about giving feedback and aspects of coaching, because that's likely something that some of you, if not all of you, will probably be called on to do over this coming year. So we really want you to have the tools to be effective in offering feedback to other people and have some tangible next steps that people can really take after those conversations. Matt, I want to kick it off to you first, because I know that you are a collegiate lacrosse coach at UConn, and obviously you do what we do every single day in terms of our feedback. So I think you have some really great perspectives about how you might approach feedback.
I want to even touch back on kind of how you walked us in there, how you started us out with people that can use this, because I'm sure there's people coming in to listen to our course, right, or listen to our podcast right now that are saying, I'm not a coach. I'm not a manager level individual. I'm not giving feedback at the end of the day. And I love that you sent it over here first. We don't only give feedback within our work environments. You all likely, I'm sure most people watching this or listening to this, are probably parents. Every single day you're giving feedback to your kids, especially at the end of the year, whether they're on Santa's naughty list or nice list. Things as small as that are feedback. And I think that's kind of where I want to gear it, is we have to look at who we're talking to, first of all. When I go in and I give feedback in my communications courses to people that are, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years older than me, have been around the block, have a little bit more seniority in their roles, feedback there is going to sound a bit different than when I'm giving feedback to some of those high school and college age kids when I'm coaching lacrosse. My number one factor that I like to talk about, and it's something I'm sure we've all heard before, is the Oreo cookie sandwich. Good, bad, good. Especially with kids, you need to sandwich in a bad or a more consequential piece of feedback between two good pieces. Every single one of us is human, no matter who we are. We want to hear that we're doing something well before we're dragged through the mud on something we did incorrectly. It's a lot easier to get somebody on board, to get somebody in our backpack, if we shed a little bit of light on the things we like that they did before jumping directly into that negative. Re-gearing it over to more of those adults, I think that's more of a tone thing. Adults don't necessarily want someone that is coaching them or giving them feedback in a manner that sounds like coaching. Whereas when I work with youth, they're looking for a coach, a mentor, a role model. The adults I work with have that. They likely have the industry experience that they're looking for. They've been in their roles for long enough, so they want it more phrased as tips or tricks or things that they can do to improve, instead of, hey, this is a negative. And I think framing the aspect in which you come at that is also massive from atmosphere to atmosphere.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback off that, Matt. I think the framing piece you just mentioned there, a lot of the folks that I work with when we talk about giving feedback or we talk about coaching models, just based on our communication skills courses, they're asking, John, is there a recipe for it? Is there a formula for it? There's a bunch, right? You just mentioned one of them, and that the compliment sandwich, if you will, coaching sandwich. I've seen places where it works incredibly well. I've seen places where some individuals are going to want tough love, and they're going to want, John, don't sugarcoat this. Tell me what I need to do differently so I can be more effective. Or if this is something about performance, tell me where I may have missed the mark. But I think a lot of what we will encourage is having some of those frameworks. And one of the ones that we talk about in our courses is the SBIR model. And some of you listening might be familiar with it, but it's, the acronym stands for situation, behavior, impact, and then request. But this really means paint a picture for the person or group that you're giving feedback or coaching on. Situation is, be specific. Describe when something happened, where something happened, based on the scenario of the situation. Then the behavior. This is where you've got to be crystal clear on what you observed. But the focus point is observation. It's not what you think may have happened, what you assume could have happened. It's what
Right.
did you observe? Then the impact. How did this impact behavior for you, the individual that's being coached or provided feedback? How did this impact the team? How did this impact the organization as a whole? And then the request. And the request should be clear. But this is asking a request of the person to do something differently, change the behavior. Lean on me as a resource next time if you've got questions and you feel like I don't really know what I'm doing. But that model, and again, situation, behavior, impact, request, is a pretty surefire way to allow for effectiveness within that feedback loop. And I like how you mentioned coaching is so much about knowing the audience. We talk about this just in general. In communication skills, effective communication is a product of you knowing your audience. If you don't know your audience, you're trying to hit a moving target. And that's when people take things personally, things get misunderstood, miscommunication exists, or it almost feels like because you aren't coaching the individual or giving effective feedback, too much praise in one place, not enough real concrete coaching in another place, that person becomes the victim. They're the one that says, look, I wish I could have gotten the feedback in a productive way or in a positive way. I didn't. And because of that, I couldn't do anything. I didn't know what to do different, or I wasn't given guidance or guidelines on what changes could have happened to make X behavior or Y performance better.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. We talk about it all the time, as you mentioned, the knowing your audience. We've talked about it through pretty much every single piece of the communication lens when it comes to understanding who our audience is. But if you are a new manager and you are managing a team, sitting down and having a conversation with them and saying, there are going to be times where I'll be offering you feedback, both on the perhaps critiquing or critical side, in addition to the complimentary side. How do you like receiving feedback? How do you like having these conversations? Get them to be part of it so you know how to deliver that to them. How one person wants it might be completely different than how another person wants it, but those approaches are both effective for those two different individuals simply because they have different personalities or ways they like to hear information that doesn't feel attacking, it doesn't feel fake, it doesn't feel forced. It's just what they prefer and what works naturally for them.
Yeah, and you both touched on it there is knowing exactly how we're going to go about that is just as important as the level of detail we use, which is a big piece of where John went with it, is we have to know that person, but we also have to give that person some sort of actionable steps. We have to give them some sort of specific feedback, because I'm sure we can all think back to a time that we went through a year-end review or a 6-month review or just a general conversation with one another where we got what we thought was feedback, but then we walked away and said, well, what were they really asking for? Or what were they really requesting? And I think for both of you, it stands to that point of if you yourself aren't specific enough and you're giving that ambiguous ask, you can't expect them to make that change or to be different in that next 6 months, in that next year, or whatever that time frame may be.
It's just like when we end a request in a meeting. We talk about who needs to do what by when, and making sure those steps are very clearly laid out. It's no different when it comes to feedback. If you end the meeting by just saying, okay, let's do better next time, nobody knows what to do in order to do better next time. Otherwise, we would have done it the first time. So having those concrete, who needs to do what by when, that's a really great way of thinking about or framing those next steps so that everybody, the individual, the person providing the feedback, if it's a group, everybody in that group understands what those next steps need to be.
And you've both now mentioned indirectly, but the importance of setting expectations. Because we need to do better next time leaves a whole bunch of openness for, well, what was our goal this time? Just like any sports team sets expectations at the beginning of the season, and then they do checkpoints, I'm sure, throughout that season. Just like in the business world, if you're in sales, you set expectations on a quota you want to hit for the year. Over the course of that year, yes, you, the individual, are responsible for checking in on your numbers and checking in on performance and progress, but the person that you likely report up to is also responsible for that. And that's the beauty of coaching and feedback, is it really is a two-way street. If we were just talking about critiquing or criticism, then yeah, that feels more one way in nature. But if we're doing feedback effectively, and this is giving and receiving, or we are coaching or mentoring effectively, both parties have skin in the game. Both parties are involved, and it's important from an expectation standpoint that all individuals or all members of the team know where is the end destination. What are we trying to accomplish? What's the goal by the end of this project, this month, this quarter, this year? Pick a time domain based on whatever the behavior might be. But that's really what creates effectiveness in relation to performance. And so everybody that does their job wants to perform well. That's the goal.
And I think, John, you laid out the SBIR method. I think a really easy couple of steps to think about is step number one needs to be sending out a meeting invite or however you're going to approach that, letting the other individual know we are going to sit down and have feedback about this thing. So, whatever the topic, the meeting, the project, whatever it is, but being clear about not just a follow-up meeting, but that this is going to be a meeting going through what worked well, what didn't, but providing that feedback so that nobody comes to that interaction surprised and then feeling defensive immediately from the beginning, because then that's a really hard atmosphere to offer feedback. Then, as you said, John, step number two is having some type of organizational process, whether it's an SBIR method, whether you want to kick off by saying something like, okay, based on this project we just finished, I have a couple of things I want to share that I think we did really well at, and a couple of things that I think we have room for growth. But level setting how you're going to go through that information and what the other person can expect, just like a presentation or a meeting, think about that like an agenda. Here's how we're going to use this time together so that there's no surprises around any corner. And then step three would be, as you close out, it's that brainstorming together. So in John's method that he mentioned with the SBIR, it was a request. It's something that you are asking the other person, does this work for you in terms of next steps or how we approach something? But it's brainstorming together so that both sides, as one of you mentioned, have skin in the game and know how we're going to progress forward. But it's something that we've decided on together. Because if it's just me as the person providing feedback, telling you this is what I need you to do, and you don't agree with that as an individual, chances are that's probably not going to get accomplished, or there's going to be some pushback or some resentment. So you want to be sure that as the person providing the feedback, you're clear on what needs to happen, but you also need to get that other person bought in so that it can be effective.
And I've got a professional and personal friend, Jeff Moore, who's the acting CEO of ICE Physio, which is a continuing education course for physical therapists. And he just had a podcast recently and basically talked about poor coaching has a significant consequence for those being coached. And he calls poor coachingless is not a victimless crime. The victim ends up being the person being coached because there's either lack of trust, there's lack of performance based on perhaps not giving some of that tough love type of coaching or feedback. And in more cases than not, Jeff brings up some good points in the podcast on people know that they might not be performing up to expectations. I'll put it that way. And so it might be important for them to hear from an outsider's perspective. They know they've got that devil on one shoulder and angel on the other shoulder, but hearing it from an outsider might be the nudge in the right direction to say, look, we both know performance can be better. We both know that this may not have gone as planned, and we've got a plan in place to make this go better next time. Let's make sure there's some accountability. But I think in today's culture, everyone is looking for a quick fix, or everyone's looking for the participation trophy at the end of whatever the task is. I think there's a time and a place for that. I think more times than not, effective coaching means, or effective feedback means, the person giving it is clear on expectations, is honest, is transparent, and is upfront with it. It doesn't sugarcoat it, because in the long run, that can end up doing more harm than good.
And I think at the end of the day, John, that comes back to kind of what Jen said there, the word together. It's not a one-way street. It's something that's going to help both of us for some reason. And giving them those reasons, formulating those steps, as Jen said, with that other person in mind, whether it's sitting down and physically brainstorming and saying, hey, what are actionable items that you are willing to take to set us up for success next time? Or where are you personally feeling those weaknesses in addition to some of those things I may have added? Do you feel as though I'm missing that head and maybe there's something else that's pulling you out of your zone? And again, like you say, being collaborative in that feedback. Once it's not collaborative, you're more likely butting heads, things that may work for them, but not necessarily for the person they're giving feedback to.
Yeah, and I really want people to think of it as a conversation. So, Matt, you mentioned collaboration, you mentioned this togetherness. If you are approaching giving somebody feedback as if I have all this information to give to you and I don't want you to say anything, you're approaching it in a completely wrong way because
I
that's
mean,
where
it goes back to
people.
critiquing all of a sudden. It's not
Absolutely.
feedback, it's not coaching, it's just you putting an
Tearing somebody
opinion
else
on.
down.
Yeah, exactly.
I've yet to meet a single person that responds well to that approach. So I don't recommend it, but it should be something where when you think about feedback, it's drawn in sand, it's not drawn in stone. As you start to have this conversation, I start to list, okay, here's what I saw, or here's the behavior that was witnessed. If somebody gives me a reason for why they made that decision, and now having that information, I say to myself, okay, if I were in your shoes, I would have done the same thing. It didn't necessarily work out all that well, but when your back's up against the wall or, faced with the options you had, this was probably the lesser painful of two or three bad options, then I need to be able to adjust that conversation and go somewhere from there. But if you think about having your feedback, your criticism or critiquing drawn in stone, it's very hard for you to be flexible when hearing why something happened the way it did, and that was information that you previously might not have had. And I really like Adam Grant. I know I always quote Adam Grant. I always go back to him. I think he's great when it comes to the psychological side of business. But he had a really great approach to providing feedback where he said, if you start any feedback with something along this line, I'm giving you these comments because I have very high expectations and I know that you can reach them. All of a sudden, from the very beginning, this level sets that you, as the person providing the feedback, you do have expectations for your team or your coworkers or your kids or whoever it might be, but you're in it with them and you believe that they have the capability to accomplish these things. So when they don't necessarily get accomplished, let's look at it together and see where things fell flat or where we perhaps missed a step or made a mistake to make sure that we have those high expectations as we move forward.
And John Wooden's got a quote, and I'll adjust it subtly, but John Wooden says, you haven't taught until they've learned. And adjusting it through the coaching lens would be, you haven't coached or you haven't given feedback until something was done as a result of it. It's why our coaching methods are learning by doing. And as the three of us know, when we're in front of the room, we're coaching communication skills, we like to make note that we would be considered walking, talking commercials for the skills. That's not to say we expect everyone to do the exact same things that we're doing in front of the room. From a skills standpoint, they'll know what they see us demonstrating. They'll know how they hear us demonstrating some of the vocal skills. But these are pillars for, I'm not telling you to do something I wouldn't be doing myself in the front of the room. And this is having character, having integrity. It's not making up an act or a facade or I want you to do this, even though I wouldn't do it myself. That would put me in a tough position. It's like, no, let's make sure that, again, both parties are understanding and we're moving this thing in the same similar direction together.
And I think that's where having the conversation can be really helpful. As a person providing feedback, you've received feedback from others before too, and you know how it feels to be in that position. But being able to take yourself off the pedestal and share with other people that I'm not perfect, I seek feedback, and I'm constantly looking for it in others, good or poor, is a really good approach to hopefully making people feel more comfortable in this situation and the conversation.
Yeah, and John touched upon it there, and Jen, you too, our learn by doing method, and when we give feedback, and I kind of wanted to come back to that because it's something that I hone in on to not only a lot of my courses, but just a lot of people around me who ask me about my job, and I tend to say that getting to see those people act on that feedback tends to be the most satisfying part of what we do. On the other side of that, when we give that feedback, we also, for me, the best feedback that I get to give is the feedback at the end, is video number 5 or 6 out of 6, when I see all of those skills coming together and we go through our 6, 7 executive presence skills, and I say, hey, honestly, I had no major feedback for you. I thought everything looked excellent. I get to give them positive identifiers on the eye contact and on the posture and on the hand gestures and everything else, because that's where it works full circle for them. The big thing we have to remember is at the end of the day, we can't just start that negative thought process around what feedback is, where every time we hear it, we innately think it's going to be consequential or negative. What we have to do is we have to, one, make sure that we're both following up our negative feedback with good feedback on those skills when they change, but also unwarranted. When we see positive skills or positive pieces that we want to touch on, we want to make sure that we're pointing those out as well. Everybody wants to hear from one of those managers or one of those bosses that gives them those positive identifiers and positive motivators. Usually, those teachers and coaches and individuals that are harping on the negative aren't necessarily the ones that we feel we're learning much from or that we have that conducive a relationship with. So again, having that happy spread between what is negative, what is positive, and again, what is the right time is not only what makes feedback so awesome, but I think it's really the payoff for the feedback giver as well.
I completely agree, and I think more people will come to you when you are somebody that gives positive feedback alone, and you build people up, and you also give people that critiquing feedback that back that helps them improve. People are more likely to come and ask for your feedback before you have to sit down and actually provide it to them. They look to you as somebody that's very fair on both sides of offering feedback, and you're in it because you're there to help them be the best version of themselves. All right, so lots of great information around feedback. As you think about approaching this year and perhaps providing feedback either to your team, in your personal life, or just to other coworkers as a resource, make sure you have those three components down. Share that this is something where we are going to provide feedback so they're aware of what the meeting is about. Make sure you have that format or process for how you're going to consider delivering that information. Be clear, be flexible, and be observative of the feedback you're providing, not something you think happened. So we're not inferring information. And then really try to work together as that step number three on a course of action as you move forward. Of course, as always, if you have any other topics you would like to hear us discuss, please feel free to respond directly to this email, and we will get that on a future podcast. See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.